A Song of Fortune, a Classical Gita. Chapter 18b. O conqueror of your opponents, originating from the natural qualities, there are the professional activities divided into the individual natures of the four societal classes, of the intellectuals and priests, the rulers and the military, the traders and farmers, and the servants and laborers. The intellectual actions of wisdom, knowledge, and belief in God are of the nature of peace, self-control, and austerity, as well as of purity, tolerance, and honesty. The ways of the ruler are characterized by valor, vigor, determination, resourcefulness in conflict situations, steadfastness, generosity, and leadership. To the nature of a trader, one finds ploughing, tending cows, and trade as the duty, while the laborer's duty consists of delivering service. When each human being answers to his duty, perfection will be the result. Now listen how that perfection can be achieved. Doing one's job with that by which all living entities found their existence and by which all this is pervaded, a human being achieves the perfection. It is better to be imperfect in doing one's own duty than to be perfect following an estranged course of action, because one will never be in conflict with oneself when one proceeds according to one's own nature. Even though faults are bound to happen when one works for a result, O son of Kunti, one should never forsake one's duty, because all one endeavors is no doubt accompanied by error, the way fire is covered by smoke. When one has an intelligence which is free from attachments, and when one, no longer fostering desires in every respect, is in control of oneself, one attains, by the renounced order, the perfection of freedom from reactions. Understand from me how, in conclusion, O son of Pritha, without fail, the spiritual perfection is achieved, the stage of the supreme knowledge of the Atma Tattva. With one's intelligence fully straightened out, being connected in one's determination, and also of regulation with things as sounds, having given up on the objects of the senses, having refrained from passion and a negative attitude, living secluded, eating little, and having one's speech, mind, and body under control, having taken to the shelter of detachment, all day residing in the beyond of meditation, and not being of false ego, physical power, false pride, lust, anger, and material accumulation, one qualifies, freed from possessiveness, living the peace, for spiritual realization. One attains my transcendental devotional service when one, existing spiritually, is pleasing the soul and, never lamenting or desiring, is of an equal mind for all living beings. I am known in devotional service, for that is what I am in reality. As soon as one knows me that way, one has accessed me. By whatever one, to the mercy of my protection, is all engaged in, one achieves the imperishable eternal abode. Take care to be aware of me all day by giving up all possible profit motives consciously, that is to say, to my lead taking to the shelter of an in-yoga unified intelligence. Conscious of me, you will by my mercy overcome all impediments. But if you, on the other hand, on an ego trip, fail to answer to this, you will be lost. If you, as an escapist, try to hide in egoism and refuse to engage in the fight, your resolve is all wrong. According to your position in the material world, you have no choice, factually. Bound to your own activities, according to the birth you took, you, in illusion, prefer not to engage in that, O son of Pritha, in which you even involuntarily will engage. Arjuna, God resides in the heart of all living entities, where he gives directions to each creature subjected to the mechanical of the outer illusion. Surrender yourself to him in every respect, O descendant of Bharata. By his grace, you'll reach the supreme abode of eternal peace. Thus far my explanations about the greatest secret of confidential knowledge. Now think carefully about this and then do that what you wish to do. It is because you are so dear to me that I, for your own good, restate this most confidential part of my supreme instruction. Think of me, become my devotee, be my worshipper, prove me your respects, and I promise you, since you are dear to me, that you will attain me without fail. When you go for me as the only one to surrender to, and abandon all other ways of proceeding righteously, I will deliver you from all the trouble heaping upon you. Don't you worry. But never tell this to anyone who is not of penance, who is not a devotee, nor to someone not willing to listen, or to someone who turned against me. He who explains this most confidential secret of mine to people of devotion is unto me engaged in transcendental devotional service, and will no doubt reach me. There is no one I like more among men, nor will there on earth anyone become more dear to me than such a one. By the sacrifice for the sake of knowledge made by the person who studies this sacred conversation of ours, I will be worshipped. That's how I see it. That human being who with faith, free from envy, listens to it, will, apart from being liberated, attain the auspicious worlds of the pious as well. O son of Aunt Prita, could you follow all this I've been telling you? Has the delusion brought about by your lack of knowledge now been dispelled, O winner of the wealth? Arjuna said, "The illusion is dispelled, and I regained my memory. Your mercy removed my doubts, O infallible one. I'm back on my feet now. I'll do what you told me to." Sanjaya said, "This is what I've heard of the wonderful and astounding discussion between the great souls Krishna and Arjuna. Thanks to Vyasadeva, I could firsthand, from the mouth of Krishna, the master of uniting consciousness in person, hear this secret being spoken concerning the supreme of yoga. O master of politics, repeatedly remembering this beautiful and pious conversation between the man of beauty and Arjuna, fills my heart with joy time and again. And also, I am each time I remember that tremendously wonderful form of Krishna, O ruler of men, to my greater joy, again and again struck with wonder. I am convinced that wherever there is the master of yoga Krishna and the son of Prita with his bow and arrows, that there opulence, victory, great power and morality are assured." Thus a Song of Fortune ends, a classical Gita, during the month of May 2760 AUC, translated to the mind of his time by Anandadhar Prabhu, the Atmatattva master who in that function is named the foundation of happiness. He did this in service of the divine association of the great souls of his time and the many preceding him in this task.